Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. This is the How Awesome Is This podcast, episode number 33, where we watch either awesomely awesome movies or awesomely bad movies. And this one is called
ladder.
Blood. This is straight garbage. I'm sorry. Jesus, should we just come? Spoiler alert.
Yeah, this one was a stinker, and it was so much fun to tear apart.
It is. I recommend it.
The stinkers are the best for this show, I think, because we just get to rip them to shreds. This one was such a shit show.
And I know it takes a lot to make a movie, and until...
Not these ones.
Until we make our own full-length feature film, we probably shouldn't be shitting on other people's work, but...
I disagree. You make albums. It's similar endeavor, you know?
This one is something else. So enjoy it. We have Howard and Charlie, Brian, and myself, and it's the Uwe Boll film Blood Rain. Support our sponsors if you can. We're just gonna holler them off real quick. First and foremost, Indie Merch Store, where you can find so much great metal merchandise. And right now, the album everybody's talking about is the new Cattle Decapitation, which the pre-orders are live. You gotta check out all the colored vinyl, the CDs, the tees, the hoodies. Plus, they have a ton of accessories like stash jars, rolling papers, grinders, even video game controller skins. The album is called Terracite. It's coming out May 12th via Metal Blade Records. It can be ordered at indiemerchstore.com, and the band will be on the tour with Dark Funeral, 200 Stab Wounds, and Black Braid on the Decibel Magazine tour. So make sure you check them out. Tell our boy Travis what up, and tell them Josta sent you. When you go over to indiemerchstore.com, use the promo code JOSTA10. Also, Milwaukee Metal Fest is back. The three-day legendary music festival is returning to the Eagles Rave, or the Rave Eagles. How do you say it?
The lineup is ridiculous, however you say it.
Bro, wait till you see who's going to be on Friday that we haven't even announced yet.
Stop it. What are you trying to do? You're definitely trying to get me to take a whole weekend off.
Yeah, it's going to be good. You're going to want to come. So Metal Fest is on sale now, and there's 3-day, single day, 2-day, and even a payment plan. But make sure you make the payment plan, or you subscribe for them to just take it out on their own or whatever. I don't know how you do it.
Or else they'll out repo of that. It in the pit.
You don't want to get repoed in the pit, Buffy.
You know.
Therave.com/Metal Fest for tickets. Dark Angel, Napalm Death, Dying Fetus on the Friday. Then Anthrax, Suicidal, Black Dahlia, Murder, Shadows Fall, Obituary on the Saturday, and of course, like 20 other bands each day. And then Lamb of God, Machine Head, The Halo Effect, fucking Cephalic Carnage, Unearth, Gate Creeper, so many more on Sunday. It's all happening in Milwaukee Memorial Day weekend. And last but certainly not least, Manscaped.com. The beard, see, I just trim with the Manscaped. I just do the sides and the bottom, but see, you've got the mustache looking trim right now. You've been using the Lawnmower 4.0?
Oh, yeah. I went bald the other day. So
on the sides.
The whole thing, I just got rid of it all. You see how, like, my alopecia underneath my shit? Like,
yeah, you know? A little neck beard. I
got to trim it
out. It's all growing back now, though.
Yeah, dude.
Well, Manscaped.com has got your shaving needs covered. Go to Manscaped.com, use the promo code JOSTA, and you will save 20% off, plus free shipping. Big thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped. And one more plug. I got to plug Century Media Records. I know this is the movie podcast, but Century Media is fucking killing the game right now. They got Lorna Shore. They got Sangasugabog. They got Unearth. They got a lot of fucking hitters right now.
That's the lineup right there.
Seriously. And they're supporting this podcast. They're supporting Milwaukee Metal Fest. We want to support them. Go to centurymedia.store. No promo code needed. centurymedia.store. All right. We watched the absolute hot bag of garbage cinema experience, Blood Rain. Now on to the show.
How awesome, how awesome, how awesome is this podcast?
What up?
What's going on?
Charlie is just depressed that he had to watch this movie.
This is a bit of a dark joke, so take the ride with me. Today in the morning, I had to watch this movie, Then I had to get in my
car. Let me intro the movie first.
Well, don't worry. I won't tell you what happened. I won't even mention the movie, but I'll just give them a tease. Okay. I had to drive to Connecticut, go to a vet with my ex-wife and put my dog down. And then I'm now in a rest stop somewhere on the highway to drive home. And I can't decide if the movie or the dog was the worst part of my day. Because this movie was fucking trash.
I know. You bring up a really dark question of like, what would you rather do? Watch this. Wait, we won't go there. All right. Listen. The film we are talking about.
Is it a film?
Loosely.
No.
It's the 2005 German-American fantasy action horror film set in 18th century Romania, directed by Uwe Boll. The film is Blood Rain, based off the video game series, and the film stars Christina Loken, Michael Madsen, Matthew Davis, Will Sanderson, Billy Zane. Meatloaf makes an appearance. Michelle Rodriguez, Ben Kingsley.
Meatloaf squared. He has two roles in the movie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Rest in peace to the G. Rest in peace to the God, Meatloaf.
And fucking, how dare they write special appearance by Billy Zane? And there's never been a special appearance of Billy Zane. If Billy Zane's parents watch this movie and they're like, I don't know, really? Like, this is, you're going a bit much here.
Well, Billy Zane actually.
Is he here? Because I really love the Phantom.
Billy Zane has an open invite to Milwaukee Metal Fest as long as he wears the outfit from this and we get him on stage.
Or any of the wigs that he's worn over the past 20 years.
Oh, that poor man in his wigs.
Oh, I got to tell you right now, I just got to warn everybody that I have so many wig jokes for this episode. I just want to apologize now, but poor Billy Zane, he not only did he get sued, this is the first film he ever distributed, but a box office failure combined with the lawsuit against him by Uwe Boll, which was because he had promised the director Uwe that he was going to, is it Uwe or you? How do you say his name?
No idea.
I've heard it said a bunch of different ways, which is weird because it's only three letters.
All I know is he's German and he clearly hates women. Well, he has a huge issue with women.
Well, you said the same thing twice.
I think he sued him and won because.
What are they suing him for?
I guess breach of agreement for the distribution was supposed to be in 2,500 theaters. It ended up only getting it to 900. The budget on the movie was 25 million. The box office was only 3 million.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Billy Zane had to quit the distribution.
Wait. It made 3 million.
Hey, people did like the video game.
And also that girl was still very good looking and she was just off of Terminator 3.
Correct.
Was it after Terminator 3? She was like, I'm going to take Terminator 3 and then show my titties in this movie?
Apparently so. You could tell she was the only one. I texted Howard before and I'm like, Christiana Loken is the only one acting like she thinks this is a serious movie. Everybody else was like on ketamine. They were like,
she wasn't even there.
Michael Madsen, bless his fucking heart. He's,
he's pronounce his name right.
Not even
it's
looking.
Vladimir.
It looks like.
Is his wig in the background here? Like, am I pointing to his wig?
Oh, he is right behind you.
Oh my god!
Oh, yeah. And the horse.
Because can I just tell you right now, between his who had the best wig, Madsen, Kingsley, or Zane?
Zane.
Woo!
Yeah, absolutely.
Zane's was really? Zane's was nuts.
Matt, like, because Kingsley's hairline quit the movie and then his beard stayed. When it got to that point and Kingsley shows up in the film, and we'll get to that, but I just wanted to jump ahead real quick. I was like, there's no, Ben Kingsley is like an Academy Award winner, no, or at least a nominee.
Yes, no, like, he is.
I was like, This had to have paid for a divorce. So I look up, I Google Ben Kingsley.
I did the same thing.
I go, does he have like 12 kids and 7 wives? He has 4 kids and 4 wives.
I wrote in, how much did Ben Kingsley get paid? And then it autofilled in Blood Rain. I'm not the first person to ask that question.
Kingsley got asked publicly and why he accepted the role for this film. And hopefully he said to pay the bill.
He actually said that he did it selfishly because he always wanted to play like a Dracula-like vampire, and he was just kind of living out childhood fantasies. AKA, he was also getting paid.
No, to pay.
To pay. Okay.
I quit.
Madsen got offered the movie. They call Michael Madsen. They're like, do you want to be Vladimir in Blood Rain? And he goes, let me mull it over.
Vladimir. Yeah, we'll touch on these accents a little later.
start with the plot and how just there's no rules whatsoever that make sense in this movie. There's no universe building. There's no established rules. How is a vampire? Wait, okay, no, there are, but they're bad rules.
Oh yeah,
Rain's character is being held by carnies. The best part about the carny show is they're like, it's amazing. Wait till you see this show. And the lady just cuts a candle. That was back then.
Yeah.
Wherever this, not even this a time frame in this other realm, just cutting a candle was like impressive.
You guys want to watch the trailer?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh. I will say that one of the first things I wrote down was like, okay, so she's loosely held hostage in a circus. Yes.
The candle was the opening act. They're like, if you like this lady cutting the candle in half, wait till you see
look at Ben Kingsley.
A mighty leader. She could be the end, the beginning of the world as we know it. A prophet.
They have been talking
just
for
the poorest acting for an hour and a half.
Child. Very shit. A young hero.
What makes us think that you won't attack?
I do wonder where the budget went. Those swords
are guardian. By evil. A secret society of Avengers.
This is the headquarters of the Brimstone Society.
Physical strength means nothing.
This movie could have easily been made 15 years before.
It could have been okay.
By light,
15 years before. Darkness.
I had to witness the beginning of the new.
It's this could be another Beastmaster just watching the preview.
Dude, Billy Zane looks like he broke into a wig shop and got caught, and they made him replace the locks.
Holy fuck.
Please stop.
There's more.
Oh, that one hurt.
We could skip to the end because there's no plot. Did anybody just feel like all of a sudden the movie just ended?
Dude, yes.
I actually rewound. I'm like, did I miss stuff?
let's start with the first. What was the first line in Madsen's script? Like, what the first lines of the movie? First of all,
what did he say?
The guy who kills the vampire at the bar, the guy makes no move, no sound,
none.
But he just stabs the guy in the chest. First kill in the movie, and he the guy like wrinkles down into like a skeleton, like just gets all sucked out and drawn out, and
decrepifies in front of the whole bar, and no one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and they spilled the whole budget on that
twice.
What was that supposed to establish? Like Matt Davis's character has some sixth sense where he can tell.
No. There was a little. Yeah, he had a little mirror on the table, and he saw that the man standing next to him had no reflection.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got
it. Let's see if Amazon plays nice with. It does not. I can already tell. It's like you can't share this.
I was praying, like literally praying, when I burst into laughter when Michael Madsen came on the screen, just based off of this look.
Oh yeah.
I was like, he better say something like, "There's vampires around here. We better comb the area." Charlie's gonna leave. He's gonna have a nervous breakdown. Charlie is trying to be a good sport.
This is just bad. But look at Madsen. He looks glorious behind you.
I mean,
I love the.
Hey,
go ahead.
What happened?
Nothing.
Go ahead. You saw me? What'd you say? I love the what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I love how all the girls are just rocking bare midriff, like mid-2000s midriff for no reason. Like, it's the oddest choice, because it's like, this is not a historical movie. We're just pretending. We're just going to make the men dress historical. That's it.
So the chick from the Fast and Furious movies was wearing, like, a blazer from JCPenney. Like,
in the middle, she had, like, a pink blazer on. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's like a suede blazer.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, there's no JCPenney's in 1800s Romania. Get the fuck out of here.
Also, everyone was surprisingly clean.
Yes. No, for real. What about the sheep? What about the sheep that gets its throat slit?
Oh,
and
of
then
course.
And then it's like walked away. Like just bleeding out. Like, what was going on with that? And then she drinks the sheep's blood, and they're like, "Look, if you like the candle cutting lady, rain can heal this horrible burn and these slices in her arm because we're making her drink the sheep's blood."
Yep.
It really felt like you were playing a poorly written or watching a poorly written video game being played.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it felt like.
Okay, what was keeping her there?
She was a world destroyer after she broke out. Like, she was murdering people like a tornado of knives. And, like, this fucking just dude who is like, "I'm just going to rape you whenever I want." And that's, like, just how the world was.
Also, the one black man.
This movie from the start. Like, if we were showing the dailies, just the first 10 minutes of the movie, we could have fixed. Like, any idiot could have fixed this, because we could have watched it and we could have done ADR with Michael Madsen and had some exposition, like Rain's, you know, because he even mentions it, like, how are they keeping, you know, her cooped up or whatever, caged up, captured. And someone could have said, "Oh, well, her energy's depleted because she hasn't had a kill, or she hasn't had the blood of a sheep, or I don't know anything."
Like, oh yeah.
It felt
no
like
explanation.
The second game in a series, like, where you lose your powers and you just got to start over again. Like, that's where it felt like she was at, you know?
Explain to me Billy Zane's interaction, the first scene. Just explain to me what happened, because I laughed again. I just burst into laughter with his look.
There is no explanation.
I laugh, but was it funny?
Because he turned. It was the scene was just to reveal, like just to reveal, just the two marks.
And also, yeah. He's Michelle Rodriguez's father. Is that did I get that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
I'm pretty sure that plays out, but
oh wait, really? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I think they were related, but she wasn't a vampire, but he was.
And then she was a vampire hunter, and then she was talking about I need to kill all the vampires because my dad's a vampire. But then she was like bringing him the thing. It like I said, this guy, it felt like. You know that scene in American Psycho where they had Willem Dafoe film it like three different ways? Like, mm-hmm. It felt like everybody filmed this movie three different ways. Like, they shot and they just cut it together. They were just like, here's three different plots.
They just tossed a coin. Like, okay, yeah. Next scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Brian, is your mic not on? Are you going through the house mic?
Oh, that could be. That's an issue, huh? I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Oh no!
While you're, we can still hear you. But okay. There we go. So, so here's my other question. Because when there had to have been multiple wigs that Billy Zane got to choose from, and I felt like for that scene on the balcony or whatever that's it. Like, where is he in that scene? He's at the top. Like, what was that set? It's like. Lit, he's what is he in the hallway in a castle? Like, what is that supposed to be?
Nobody can answer.
Okay, so in that scene, I feel like he met with the wardrobe girl and she's like, here, you should really use one of these other wigs. I think it'll look more realistic. Like, we have all these choices, let's try them on. And he's like, no, please. I brought one from home that I must wear because it's a family. Heirloom.
Oh, fuck.
Bro.
All right. So Michelle, so they get to the camp. The carnies are all fucking dead and fucking laid out. And we're like, wait, so she just killed like almost all of them. And then the ones that survived, Michelle Rodriguez and Michael Madsen, everybody like, oh, we got to kill the ones that survived. Because she bit a bunch of them. Was I getting that part right, at least?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they were going to turn, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't know whose movie it was. It was like sometimes it was Reigns and sometimes it was like the ancient cops, basically. Like, it was very confusing.
The ancient cops. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess they were, weren't they?
Quick interruption, letting you know today's episode of the How Awesome Is This podcast is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com, your one-stop shop for all things metal merchandise related. And right now we are hyping up the Cattle Decapitation pre-order for the new album, Terracite, which is coming out May 12th through Metal Blade Records. And that can be ordered at IndieMerchStore.com right now. Use the promo code JOSTA10. Pre-orders are live. You'll see they have vinyl. They have CDs, tees, hoodies, plus a ton of accessories, including stash jars, rolling papers, grinders, plus even video game controllers. What console you got?
Oh, man, I'm PC Master Race these days, although I do have a PlayStation behind me, but it's an old dinosaur PS4.
Oh, all right. Well, I wonder if the old controller, I'm sure I'll still have them send you a controller.
Same size controllers. Oh, yeah.
I'll still have them send you a Cattle Decap Terracite skin. For that ass, go over to IndieMerchStore.com after the podcast today. Use the promo code JOSTA10 and you will save. And go see Cattle Decapitation on tour this May. Walmart. Dude, I love this. I love this shit. People are trying to hate on it. Bro, get out of here.
That's wild.
Hard. Put it on. I'm ordering the shirt right now. And I'm going to see them in May with Dark Funeral, 200 Stab Wounds, and Black Braid on the Decibel Magazine tour. Big thanks to IndieMerchStore.com, promo code JOSTA10. Now back to the show. The whole thing with the carnies, which I didn't understand, because when she gets free and just starts fucking killing everybody, and there were decent kills, like the makeup was okay. The gore was like, it wasn't great.
The gore was awesome. I liked the gore. It was really like 80s style cheesy, like Conan level, just blood splatter.
Yeah, that was good. Awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was good. It wasn't
the timing was off on a few of the kills, but you know,
The volume. I really appreciated the volume.
Oh, yeah. They went for the arterial spray.
But it really gets hard to understand right after that, because where exactly is she going and what is her plan? Because when she gets to the monastery or whatever, and then she just kills one of the fucking like that, I was like, wait, did they set this up just to kill this guy? Like, maybe that was an effect they had and they had to work it into the script. Like, he was like the Toxic Avenger or something. What was the purpose of killing him? Like, it kind of turned into club? Indiana Jones out of nowhere.
Don't.
Yeah.
Well, in any good video game, you need three MacGuffins, right? You need to just go get three things. So she needed to go get three things because it's a video game movie.
Right.
Good point.
He was like a cheesy boss before she got into the fucking Indiana Jones room.
Intro boss, you know?
Wait.
Game has one.
She was being held captive barely, but then all of a sudden, she's amazing with a sword and horseback riding.
Just a whirling dervish of death.
Explain this.
No, it gets even worse. What about after that? She just gets knocked out with one punch.
It's wild.
What in the fuck? That's when I was like, all right, I'm done. I gotta fast forward. This is like, what? How does this even work with the script? Like, what? There was.
Doesn't.
I don't get it. That guy just walks up and that's it.
Can we talk about the insta-kill bites? Like, she's just rolling by and just be like, bomb, you're done. Bomb, you're done. It was just like, I'm not sure it works like, I'm not sure it would work like that.
It's like it didn't have to make sense. And that theme ran through the whole movie. Amazing.
It felt throw and go. It felt really throw and go. Like, I just didn't. I don't want to blame the editor, because I'm sure if we looked up the editor, he's probably done movies where.
What was it before the editing?
But if you're a human, if you're a human vampire hybrid like Rain, and you bite somebody, which she does, and they die. How does she bite people and they come back to life?
It's just how the movie works.
Didn't explain.
And how come they're not then half vampire? Shouldn't they be just like her?
According to the fortune teller
tells Rain that Kagan has become the most powerful vampire. Is it because somehow, maybe I didn't see it, but like, he's in the most whatever protected castle, she gets in and they have their whole thing out in the monastery or whatever. Does she somehow have different powers like transferred over her? Did I miss that? Is it something with the holy water?
Yes, when she ate the MacGuffins, right? Because she ate the eyeball and then she got everything else, she ate all of it, right? Each one gave her a new power, just like in a video game, right? So the first time she ate the eyeball, and then it was in that room full of water. So when she absorbed the eyeball, now the water doesn't hurt her. And then the next thing was like sunlight. And the next thing was like a cross.
I thought she just catched the eyeball. It absorbed into
her. When
she
caught it, it was like,
it went into her eye. Color. Yes.
And then Ben Kingsley was trying to poke her eyeball out when they were fighting. He was like, give me your eyeball, bitch.
So they made an effort there, right?
Yeah, but it's like they didn't explain this. Like, if you grab it, you're gonna get osmosis, and then there's no explanation.
No, the monk says something about the artifacts or whatever, the body parts, right? The monk says it came from Belial, right?
Dracula, essentially, right? They probably just couldn't use it because of fucking copyright.
So maybe that was her way of overcoming the weakness of being the vampire hybrid. Like, now maybe she no longer has whatever the weakness was, where when they dipped her arm or when they cut her arm and then she had to drink the blood, or now her blood, when she bites someone, it brings them to life. Was there some sort of inversion? Because the body parts were hidden across this whole fucking land? No?
I have no idea.
I think that's what Kagan's goal was. His goal was
some sort of apotheosis. When he eats all the things, he turns into some sort of vampire god.
You realize we're making up our own lore to make this movie make sense.
No, because when she goes to the she goes to the headquarters, she goes to Brimstone HQ. Remember,
right?
And that's when they
agree to
kill Kagan.
Why did she kill Rosario Dawson? That's not her name. The other chick, Michelle Rodriguez. Nope.
Because she's got to get to her father, right? And she thinks like she ain't gonna let him like kill her father. Why was that?
Yeah, didn't she say like, oh, Brimstone is fallen, it's done, so well, I'll just betray everybody.
She sucked.
What about, so wait, Elric, right? Elric falls into this under the spell of Kagan, right? But he wants to secretly betray Kagan and take the power for himself. And then the location of the heart, right? Because she had already had the eye, but she was now looking for the heart.
And the rib.
And then, what's that?
And the rib.
Oh, right. But Rain, I thought, kills, what's her face, Katarin. And takes the heart.
Yes.
Okay. And that's when she tries to get in front of Kagan, and then he takes the heart, puts her in the dungeon. Which, can we talk about that?
This scene was fucking weird. She has a sex dream about her vampire dad and then wakes up and horns out on the guard.
Oh, on fake Stifler?
Yeah, fake Stifler.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's who it was. It was fake Stifler. I couldn't.
Great call. Everything about that was weird. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Did she have a dream about her? This is just crossing lines.
At least we got to see some sweet ass titties out of it.
For the weirdest sex scene.
It's so weird.
Yeah, let's not talk about that sex scene.
It was weird.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Because I was like, is sex different on this planet?
I rewound it to see if I missed something. Because I was like, wait. How did they get here? I'm going to go back 5 minutes and see if I missed some sort of something that would show that this is about to happen.
I did so too.
Does she have a penis? Why is she standing like that? I don't understand.
This could be part of the vampire hybrid. Maybe she's another type of hybrid. We don't know.
Yeah. You just have to assume a lot of liberties in this movie.
You're doing the monkey hang. She had like two bars. She probably had her legs up on two bars and she was just fucking slamming that dude.
But how was Kagan going to extract the eye? He was going to
he was just going to poke it out.
And then what is he going to do? He's going to put it in his eye?
Probably.
Yeah, it's like, but the worst absorbs, part of it all, why do you have to rip it out? I don't get it.
but what's even worse than everything we've seen to this point, and we've seen a lot of terrible shit, was she literally, and I didn't even think twice until he ends up opening the box, but when she walked up, I didn't think anything of it. She literally gives him an empty box. Not one of these fucking idiots checks the box. The whole, if one person had checked the box, it's game over. The movie's over. He did at the end. So when Sebastian and Vladimir, you know, go to like intervene and start battling Kagan and his little fucking cronies or whatever, I could just tell Madsen was like, I'm done with these types of movies. Like, there's one point there's so much. Just the hallway scene or whatever, the stairs. He's kind of trying, but you know, like I just felt like he's like, I'm done with this style of movie, and really, he hasn't looked Bach since.
Come on.
I was trying to squeeze that one in earlier because look how he looks. Look at, like, is he gonna play us like the best, literally the best classical music right now? Is he gonna play it? Look at this. Dude,
he looks like he's about to go see Tesla play.
Dude, he looks like he's about to sing for Yngwie.
Like he's wondering why Clinton hasn't called him in years.
Dude, he's like, look what you did to me, Quentin. Look at this.
I was Bud in Kill Bill.
Oh, my God. All right, so explain to me. So they open the box. They're like, there's no heart in the box.
Nobody checked.
She's like, got you, dummies, you fucks, and she had you dumb motherfuckers.
Now I'm gonna slowly kill you.
Oh my god!
These fight scenes, there was no time, no effort put into these fight scenes.
None.
She did the spin move.
She had
wow
spin moves and a few like kip ups that were like, oh, I could do that drunk. You know? Like, I don't know.
Why does Sebastian care? Like, why does he choose to die then and not have Rain save? Like, why does he care? Like, he's got, like, he just doesn't want to be a vampire, or what? Like, what is it?
Sebastian takes Stifler, right?
I couldn't
connect enough to fucking really get a lot of names in this movie.
Well, fake Princess Bride guy too. He kind of has that going for him.
Yeah.
The blonde guy.
I feel like they really just wanted to tie up all the loose ends so there couldn't be a sequel.
His character truly showed no emotion whatsoever. Whether it was the sex scene or killing that first vampire, it was just like, I don't understand what I just saw.
you're right, because they don't even, if it's going to be like a buddy flick, like a journey flick, and they're whatever part of their crew, and they're, you would think that him and Mattson would have a rapport, but it just is none of it. No one's likable. No one's cool.
Well, didn't he say Mattson killed his parents because they turned to vampires? I guess they don't have a relationship, but yeah, let's just hang out for 20 years and not chat. You know, let's.
Right. I looked over at my daughter and I said, trauma bond. Like, I had some like psych degree or something. Like, he's like, that's like some pre Game of Thrones shit that just like definitely has been done again and probably was done before, but they didn't do it in a way where what do you call that? Stockholm syndrome? Like, what is that? Yeah. When somebody does wrong by you, or somebody takes you or abuses you, and then you just stay with them.
Yeah. That's Stockholm syndrome.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess then that kind of makes more sense, but still, they're not likable.
No, nobody's likable. But
who was likable in this movie?
Not one person.
I hate everybody.
What do you think the wig budget was in this movie?
All of it.
And Ken, if any of these wigs, like, I'm putting an alert on eBay, if any of these wigs come on sale. You know how like Rob Zombie and other filmmakers will put up like eBay auctions for like props and movies? What's your starting bid on Billy Zane's wig for this? If you've seen it go up on eBay,
about tree fitty.
Wow,
$7,
dude.
You guys can have it. I'll go ahead and take Kingsley because I got a lot of love for Kingsley. Just this movie. Woo.
You even get some clout because you're like, I have Ben Kingsley's, you know, thingamajig. Like, I don't know how much clout Billy Zane gets you unless you're at like Comic-Con or something, you know?
This movie was the normal job in between tours.
Dude, hilarious. Exactly. This movie was this. Kingsley's fourth ex-wife has this movie on several Blu-rays. People come over and she's like, fuck you, pay me, motherfucker. Like, you know, she just waves the Blood Rain Blu-ray around when people come over the fucking mansion that she was given. Oh my God.
So I'm looking up Uwe Boll's filmography here.
No, don't do that.
Hold on. This is
sucks.
Blood Rain, The Third Reich, is a movie he put out in 2011. He also in 2011 put out a movie called Blubberella, which is the entire film is a scene for scene spoof of Blood Rain, Third Reich. He made a movie and then he spoofed his own movie in the same year.
And didn't he fight people for charity? Like, didn't he fight people? And he like fought film critics. Like, he really went bananas. I think
the shit out of that.
I feel like we wasted our time with this Blood Rain.
Yeah. How many people walked out of this movie and asked for refunds, do you think?
Can you ask for a refund?
Like, yeah, what's the, like, if you're 20 minutes in, can you walk out and ask for a refund if you're 20 minutes in?
Yeah.
Like, if you went out and you're like, listen, a fucking sheep just got its throat slit and fucking walked away, I'm out. I'm
done. That's where I draw the line.
Okay, here's the pitch. Because this is my pitch. If we could somehow acquire the Blood Rain rights and do right by the franchise.
It's not worth it.
Well, I think there's meat on the bone here. Hear me out. I think, well, first of all, literally anything would be better than this. Sure. Anything. I don't care if it's sci-fi straight to fucking streaming or whatever. Even on a $3 million budget, you could smoke this. I'm not trying to be cocky. I'm not trying to be a dick. I know people who probably worked on the film will probably watch this. I'm not trying to be an asshole.
They know.
You can come on. You can come on the podcast. We can discuss. I think Vladimir, as a senior member of the Brimstone Society, I want to see Vladimir in the early days. I want to see when he kills Sebastian's parents and takes the young Sebastian, which is just really weird and creepy, right? Because he's probably thinking the entire time, Sebastian's going to grow up and fucking kill me. Unless...
It was a different time.
It was a difference. Because think about the Brimstone Society. You could really build on this world. You could have other members of the crew.
The Witcher.
Is it?
Not directly, but it feels the same. Like, the Witchers are like a society of people who go out and hunt monsters. You know? Isn't that what these guys did?
Kagan is revealed to be Rain's father, right?
This is the GoBots of Witcher.
Yeah, this is the Hydrox. Dude, you remember when your mom used to try to give you the Hydrox and you just had to eat them and like hide them because you don't want the kids to see that you had the fake Oreos and got to fight people?
And they were real sweet. They had that sweet taste that kind of burned the back of your throat. And so it's just like, this is like an Oreo, but what is that?
It's called asbestos. it's called whatever poison fucking Donald Rumsfeld tried to send to Iraq, but then they couldn't fucking use it on them. So they
putting it in the chicken
just
feed.
They were like, what are we going to do with all this shit? We got fucking barges filled with this stuff, but it tastes sweet. It's got a sweet taste. So Rain, let's just get to the end of the movie. When she sits on the throne, it's like, is it revealed that she's Kagan's daughter and then she assumes the throne?
No, we knew that earlier, because she was like, I hate Kagan because he raped my mom and made me a vampire baby.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I was going to say it's the inspiration for the Hatebreed song Conceived Through an Act of Violence.
Oh,
that was nice. So Kagan is obviously killed by Rain. The battle ends, right? She's able to summon her last whatever bit of strength, and then
she eats a sensu bean and just fucking whoops that dude's ass.
Yeah. And then she sits there and reflects. And then leaves the castle and rides off into the mountains. So setting up for the sequel.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. She reigns now. And I was just like, really? You really went literal with it as the last scene. I'm like, yeah. You did all of this to us. And then you did that.
Just for that one line.
Hey, everybody. Breaking news. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, and they are now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. They've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed, and conditioned beard. Finally, tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and using our code JOSTA for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It all starts with the Beard Hedger. This thing is a juggernaut of fixing freakish faces. Say that 5 times fast, Brian. Can you do that? Fixing freakish faces.
No, I already messed it up.
First off, this waterproof cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel. Not that fucking square wheel like these busters try to give you at these other companies. That rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of extra. You know those things, those little fucking things. And then you're like, which one? Oh, this goes to the old fucking clipper. You got to throw it out.
Yeah, of course. No, this thing's slick looking.
Plus, this trimmer has a titanium blade. So if you ever blow out your knee and can't afford a real knee replacement, you just put the fucking Manscaped trimmer in there. Your knee is fucking fixed. Titanium coated T blade. It's tough on hair, but smooth on your face. They even have beard shampoo and conditioner. Plus, of course, Manscaped is dropping the beard oil. Nutrient infused oil relieves dryness on both the beard and the skin beneath. Man. All this shit is banging, son. Go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code JOSTA for 20% off plus free shipping. Once again, that's manscaped.com. Promo code JOSTA. Link is always in the show notes. Now back to the show. You think we're mad that we watched this movie? Let's go to the chat.
If anybody
wants to talk on mic, let us know, because Brian can unmute you. Right, Brian?
I'm not sure that I can do that because they're sitting in the audience part.
Ah, shit. Okay.
Let's see. No, probably not. Oh, where'd Charlie go again? He's having some connection issues, it seems. He'll be back. But feel free to ask a question in the chat if you got one, and I'll ask the guys.
All right, let's go. Let's see. Okay, Jason Rary, this is a comment, not a question. Congrats on the shiny new frame disc you earned, Howard. Oh, yeah. You got a platinum plaque.
Oh, very
fun. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Luckily, like, yeah, it wasn't a platinum Blood Rain soundtrack.
Whoo! That would be such an honor.
I told you about the Blood Rain party I hosted, right? At House of Blues in LA.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Dude, I hosted the release party for this. We had Travis Barker there, Jonathan Davis, or maybe it was the release party for the game, but whoever, I don't think it was this actress chick. It might have been the girl who was like played the girl in the Blood Rain video game, but she was in character. It was so weird. Like, we couldn't get her to break character. She was method.
Really?
Was she?
I feel like
people.
She was like walking around the place like with the teeth and was like method, like looking at people like she was gonna bite him. It was weird. And they were like, hey, you gotta interview her. And it was like, you know, when they give the fucking wrestlers or when they give the NASCAR drivers like the Mountain Dew and they gotta like, they're like reluctantly like, oh God, I gotta sip this shit. And they're like, yeah, so when my Mountain Dew Toyota crossed the finish line, I, you know, they have to like reference all the sponsors. they were trying to get me do shit like that. Like, yeah, so when I played the Blood Rain game or whatever, you have to like work it in.
Wow.
And I was like, this is whack.
Has anybody seen the game itself? Like, what is it a cool video game?
I remember playing it way back then because we did other stuff. Like, we did shit for Max Payne too. Jose and I went to Rockstar and played the Max Payne, and like 13-year-olds were like smoking us in the chat, calling us the fucking N-word, and like it was
yeah, the real
was wild. But the Blood Rain game was pretty cool from what I remember.
I'm looking for the trailer, but the trailer's just gonna be like not gameplay footage. Give me a minute, I'll pull something up so you can see.
Dallas Bowen says Rampage is Uwe Boll's only good movie, but that's not Rampage with The Rock.
Yeah.
No, he didn't do Rampage with The Rock. There's no way. I know why you're thinking that, because Rampage is based off a video game too.
That's it's a different Rampage.
It's a first person shooter Rampage, right?
Yeah. It's like a guy wearing a mask or something like that.
That movie was awesome. Like the first person.
I don't think I've seen it, but I've seen I may have seen a clip or something like that.
Ryan Williams said, when this movie came out, I was a horny teenager. Didn't hold up. No, it really didn't. That's who this movie was for. Like, worst case scenario, you see the final edit, you're at the distributor or you're at the studio, and you walk out of the screening and you're just like, oh my God, your heart's palpitating. You're like, I'm about to lose fucking $22 million. You're freaking out. You're like, we got to go bankrupt. We have to disband the entire distribution agreement. We're going to get sued. But then you're like, but wait, luckily there's horny teenagers who will watch this on pay TV or cable TV. And then that did so well. And then the whole crowd of like people who diss movies started dissing it, and it got famous, and then that got them more licenses, and then that paid for two fucking sequels, right? So it's not that bad.
Two sequels.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Jason Rary says a more recent movie that made me want to throw my TV out the fucking window was How It Ends. Are we gonna have to watch the trailer for How It Ends right now?
We could do that.
How It Ends.
Michael Samuel Angeli says Michael Madsen leading the Joe Lynn Turner trio. Dude, between Brett Michaels, if Brett Michaels, Joe Lynn Turner, and Michael Madsen walk into a bar together.
Holy shit. I'm just going to read you the description before we watch a trailer. It says, a mysterious apocalypse causes the spread of misinformation and violence. That's their goal, like misinformation, not the apocalypse.
Oh boy.
The problem is the misinformation.
I love that apocalypse has to be predicated with mysterious.
Sam Angeli says Michelle Rodriguez did that. Let's talk about Sam makes a good point here. Let's talk about Michelle Rodriguez's accent.
Oh, she wanted
That's what I was saying. This movie drove me nuts. She was writing and reading off what she was writing, and I'm like, oh, so now you're going to try and stick with it? And then halfway through it, gone.
Back just to right. Brooklyn. Worst supporting actress and most annoying fake female accent. Four awards that she won at the 2006 Stinkers. And also, least scary horror movie. That was
least scary. Oh my God.
You want to watch the trailer for How It Ends?
No.
How It Ends Who's in this movie, Howard?
It's a Netflix joint. So, Theo James, Forrest Whitaker, Cat Graham. I know one of those people.
Same. All right, Ryan Williams votes Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey for the next one.
Is that out yet?
I don't think it is.
I think that is that going to be?
It's going to be terrible.
Oh, how could it not be?
It looks what movie? So bad. What was the one? I sent you another Uwe Boll film.
That Winnie the Pooh movie. One?
That one's even worse than this one, I think. The Jason Statham one? Let's watch the trailer for that. We're not going to watch the movie.
Oh, is that in the name of the something?
Dude, let me just say, fucking rest in peace to Ray Liotta, but he must have had, like, I don't know. He must have had fucking Rick James's dealer on speed dial or something, because something was up.
In the name of the king.
Oh,
that's the one.
All right, let's watch that.
I have that. One moment, sirs.
Here we go. Statham gives his all for this. Statham's a real team player.
Krug, savage arm, Krug. They killed off our entire scouting party.
Sacrilege. I believe it was Galleon. He has fallen into madness.
Dude, Ray Liotta as a wizard? The last person you cast as a wizard.
He was looking fun.
I feel like Ray Calhoun was like, listen, I'm typecast as a mobster. I can't play mobsters anymore. I gotta play something different. How about
I need to cast a spell?
All of this guy's movies are money laundering. There's no way that they're not.
Look at the chick from Blood Rain. Now she's got the blonde dread in this.
Solve the problem at its source.
King called upon you to face death. Tonight we dress our wounds. We bury our dead. Tomorrow we gouge evil from its shell.
Holy shit.
The guy from Scooby-Doo is so bad in this.
You'd think these actors lose bets, like... shows up and he's like, let's play a game of cards or something. Like, oh, I forgot my wallet. What can we bet? You know, like, oh, I know. Why don't you just, you know, if you lose, you take a part in my next movie. And then, like, if I lose, I'll give you some money or whatever. And card chart, like, he counts cards, you know, and he just, like, tricks everybody to be in his movies.
I think it's like, it becomes a thing where it's like, it's just better than roofing, or it's just better than landscaping. But I've been in two horrible movies, and I think I would prefer roofing and landscaping, because then at least you see like a finished product that you can be proud of. Whereas with this, and it's like a collaborative effort where you can go, wow, that was a hard day's work, and like someone's going to enjoy my hard day's work. Like at least with landscaping and roofing, like someone's going to go and they're going to go, God damn, that lawn looks good. Or goddamn, that roof fucking kept me dry. With this shit, I don't know.
All right. Is there a Blood Rain in your musical catalog that you have made over the years? Do you have something you consider, not my finest hour?
I mean... No, thank God.
I mean, it
depends what you ask. Always have,
yeah, and so, but that's the thing. I'm thinking, as of me, it's like, I know things, it's like, okay, that's not as good as it, but wow, this is one of the worst movies I've seen in a long time. I guess that's the whole point of what I'm saying. Like, this was much worse than I thought it would be.
Well, let's talk, before we get out of here, let's talk about our spinoff.
Yeah, podcast. Me too.
That we think. All right, so let's first do the scoring, and then let's talk about our spinoff podcast for this. So, one out of 10 of being awesomely bad, what do you give this? Awesomely bad.
Awesomely bad.
I'm going to give it a 9. Oh, there's one, there's a couple worse ones.
What's better at being awful than this movie? That's a serious question, because I can't think of two.
The one with Greco.
Answer?
No, the one with Greco where he's playing golf. Pull up that trailer.
Yeah. Greco
golf movie. We're going to have to edit this out because we might get killed. Like, so we don't want to piss off anybody who's, you know, we don't want to knock their hustle because they got to show expenses.
If looks could kill?
No, that one's a... That was from a long time ago. This one, it's a newer one.
Oh, yes. No, we. You know what? Do not show it. Do not show it.
Dream Around.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Show it. But can you edit it out? Can you edit this part out?
Yes.
And we'll just show it just to. So you can, because Blood Rain is like Citizen Kane compared to Dream Around. Blood Rain is like Terminator 2 compared to Dream Run.
Oh boy. Okay. Give me one second. I'm just letting it because I have poor people YouTube.
So the spinoff podcast is going to be called Harder They Fall. And it's going to talk about careers like Richard Grieco and Uwe Boll. It might have to be Patreon only because it's going to be too mean, right? But speaking of Terminator,
I can't believe you're mentioning this. I thought it was a joke.
I know.
People must learn from the mistakes of others. Edward Furlong, has there been a harder fall? All right, let's see the Grieco. Grieco had a hard fall from grace, but I would dare say might not have been as hard of a fall as Edward Furlong.
15 years ago, Joe Bona could have been a pro golfer.
5 years in a row, you won the local cup.
This movie shot like a porn.
Then tragedy struck, he lost his family.
He just throws the ball in the kid's face.
Come on, let me see that.
Joe gave up on life.
Rise and shine, let's go.
I'm here to fix your pipes.
You, my friend, are going to compete in the Arizona Open.
I don't play golf anymore.
Yeah, Weinstein doesn't do anything anymore.
Dude, we better be careful. This guy probably knows people that would have us.
I'm just saying, there's a slight resemblance.
You got to line it up.
Is this like a crossover of Simple Jack and like a golf movie?
No, this is like Field of Dreams. Last month. And Richard Grieco's character is
Sarah, I don't get what you find so interesting about that man.
I don't think he has any family, Grandma.
Life was lonely until...
Joe, right?
Have we met?
Jennifer. Well, I'm interested in someone.
Yeah, because that's where you last think.
That's the guy you got to put.
Are you sure this isn't a trailer for a porn?
He's the Porsche pro. Once you beat him, wait. You're going to be ready for the Janie King.
Here we go.
Here we go. Look who it is.
I'll give you 13 strokes. I'll give you 10.
Get him to the Grieco.
Dude, look at Grieco.
Do you need a putter or a three-wood?
This is the real world, okay? Don't you want it anymore?
Why are you doing this to me?
But you know what, kid? From now on, we're all old friends.
But then a miracle happened.
Mr. Bona, guess who has the hots for you?
The hots? Who?
She's perfect for you. Both kind of old.
What kind of date you're expecting, huh?
Date? I have no idea.
A 10-year-old kid, a waitress, and a retired golfer convinced Joe to golf once more.
Whose kid is that?
I am going to give your father the best.
Somebody irresponsible.
You don't need to keep slaving over this job. If that's write a book, then write a book. If it's playing golf, then become a pro.
I love that Grieco's just not even a main character.
What theater was that in?
None. What, none theater.
Like a ski school instructor for like a
Do
ski?
Not put that out. Do not put this I out need... on the podcast.
I need to see the numbers from Box Office Mojo immediately.
$7.
And while we're at it, let's go ahead and look up Gina Carano.
Oh, all right. So there's our first five episodes. There's our first five episodes of the Harder They Fall podcast. We got to watch the Rampage trailer. Let's watch Uwe Boll's Rampage movie trailer.
Okay, cool. I was just trying to look up how much money Dream Round made. Full financial.
No, we can never discuss Dream Round. It's okay. Like you
are you that worried
the
about
world
you don't
of pain.
Vegas that often, do you,
dude? That's like some Jersey shit. Like you go missing in Jersey for dissing Dream Round. Like that guy.
Yeah, because that movie. No one talks about this movie. So
no,
if
I think
can,
it's like
you're fun. Gonna know.
I'm sorry. What movie are we watching the trailer for?
Rampage.
Ding, ding.
From Uwe Boll.
Rampage. All right. Let's see what kind of.
I mean, how mad would you be if you had a great script and you couldn't get your movie made, and then you see the trailer for Dream Round?
Oh my God. I'd go. I would go on a rampage. Kind of like. Is this movie about the killdozer guy?
Probably. Is this also a Rampage video game, or it's not based off of? It's not an adaptation.
No, this just feels like money laundering. Whoa. Wasn't that guy just in the truck?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
I think you just...
Did we just see the movie?
This dude's in full paintball gear. Yes. Mushroom clouds.
Oh.
Did this dude just nuke a Walmart? Like, what happened?
Is this Timothy McVeigh? What am I looking at?
This is like a actual real life supervillain.
This is what Uwe Boll wants to do to film critics. This is what Uwe Boll is going to do to us if he hears his podcast.
What are you doing, bro?
Jesus Christ.
I mean, what? Why though? What did that guy ever do to you? Also, that paintball gear isn't gonna stop bullets.
So this is just an active shooter scenario. It's what this movie is.
Yeah, is that what this is?
For an hour and a half.
Is that Stifler?
I think it is.
If that's fake Stifler, that's amazing.
You know, directors do like to reuse that.
Jesus Christ!
Just walk around just like Darth Vader with machine guns.
This is a trailer?
Does the movie end with some 13-year-old getting called up for dinner?
This is
and then this,
is
this
like
stops.
A whole scene. I'm sorry. I thought this was. A
Where in the trauma did they record this?
That shit was wild.
Dear Lord.
What movie are we doing next?
More. Oh, somebody says it's murder porn for 2 hours. So apparently it's just a 2 hour, just that. Just a guy
running
around.
Are we going to try to do Skinamarink? Because that looks like.
I watched it, guys. I don't think you all need to put yourselves through that.
Yeah, no. I don't want to do Skinamarink.
Wasn't good.
Okay.
Should we watch an actual good movie for once, or should we watch Steven Seagal movies?
But then how are we going to talk shit about it if it's a good
Cyborg.
Movie?
We should go back to Van Damme.
Cyborg. 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 Yeah.
I agree.
Gibson Rickenbacker forever.
I agree. We need more Van Damme in our lives.
Yeah, we need more splits and butt cracks.
Nice. Yeah. We need thick thighs and brown eyes. Does he have brown eyes? Like, dude, he's got a couple of ham hocks in those jammy pants.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Couple of sweet cakes. All right.
Pause.
Oh yeah.
All right, Howard, where can they find you? Are you you don't have, we know you don't have anything to announce. We've given up.
just working on stuff. Yeah, right now just working. Not really nothing to announce just yet.
Laying in the cut. Charlie, where can they find you?
Everywhere as Charlie Belmore.
Brian,
I'm here. B. McKay is right. Go watch, you know, this show, Joss's show. Believe you me, all the good stuff on Gas Digital Network.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, watching, and apologies to Uwe Boll. But I heard he owns a restaurant now, and I or did, and it was doing good. So
you should apologize to us.
The restaurant serves shit. You know it.
I think
they just serve human shit, and he's like, it's good food, fuck you.
If Uwe Boll challenges us to fight for charity, I think Brian has to take one.
I'll take him. He's old as shit. I'll fight him.
Okay.
I'm big.
Yeah, I think
I'll hit him with my fucking car for making me watch this movie.
And we're not doing In the Name of the King, correct? What if I just watch that just because now I have a trauma bond with his movies? Like, what if I just
watch In the Name of the King and then torture us through text with what you saw.
Yes.
Just Ray Liotta as a wizard is still one of just, it's just.
So that's great. One of the reasons I'm half tempted to watch it. Just Ray Liotta as a supervillain.
Yeah. And if I'm remembering correctly, Statham is like the farmer, and they're like, what's his name? And they're like, the farmer. Like, they just didn't even have enough time. There was no budget to come up with a name for the character, if I'm remembering correctly. All right, so Cyborg, I love that. We're bringing the graphics back. We're gonna do another one of these. Like, let's do it. Let's just schedule it now for next week. Because Nick is booked in the studio, so I have two nights open. So let's just schedule it now. Cyborg, we make the funny graphic with Howard on the robot's body or JC's body, me on the robot. I don't know. Whatever we're going to do, it's going to be great. I'm fully into Cyborg. As long as it's free on Tubi. Or there's a bootleg that Brian can get.
It's on Amazon, I think.
All right, cool.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back next week. We'll post the link in the Patreon. Shout out to everybody from the Patreon. We appreciate you. And yeah, just, I don't know, wash your eyes out with fucking gasoline. Bye-bye. If you are still listening or if you're watching on YouTube, go hit the like, hit the subscribe button.
Leave a comment.
Thumbs up. Say, yo, you guys are fucked up for torturing Uwe Boll. You know, why kick a man when he's down?
Stop and reverse that, please. He's fucked up for torturing all of us.
Bro, wait till you see the fucking In the Name of the King or whatever that other one with fucking Statham is. We're going to have to watch that one.
He has a movie with Jason Statham? Dude, it's going to be, oh my God, it's going to be perfect.
Yeah, wait, just wait. So like, subscribe, hit the bell. Thank you everybody who checked out the recent episodes we did with Sid and from Slipknot and Ross Robinson. Of course, the Fear Factory episode. Shout out to Fear Factory. Go see them live. Milo's killing it. I don't know if you saw the footage from Portland, but he's killing it out there.
No, he's a monster. It's awesome.
They missed the first show, but now they made it to Portland, and I think they missed the Vancouver show for some reason too, but now it's off to a rough start, but hey, break the kid in.
Get past it.
Yeah. The kid's got it's trial by fire. Speaking of trial by fire, if you don't want to like burn your beard off, you should just shave it off with a nice fucking Beard Hedger Pro from Manscaped. Big thanks to Manscaped. Use the promo code JOSTA. Save 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com. Link is always in the show notes. Oh, like, give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you like this one too.
Oh, yeah.
And let us know what your favorite tracks were from the Milwaukee Metal Fest music show. Let us know what movies you think we should watch for upcoming episodes of How Awesome Is This? Although we already brought back JCVD, so don't hit me with JCVD suggestions.
Are we on another wave? We got a couple more JCVD movies before we go back into experimental waters?
I think so. What was the one? We watched Cyborg, right? That's we coming out.
Cyborg and Sudden Death. Those are upcoming, boys.
All right, so we'll put out the Cyborg episode next week for everybody. But we got Mark from Periphery coming on next week. We'll put that up for everybody. But if you want to hear that sooner, go to Gas Digital Network. Use the promo code JOSTA. I see a lot of people hitting me up about the Will Ramos from Lorna Shore episode. Once the episodes go into the archive, if we're feeling nice, we might bust it out again. But really, you should just go subscribe at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code JOSTA. And just go download the archives and check out all the old episodes. Also, if you want to hear the like weekly metal roundups or any of the Patreon shows, make sure you we don't do refunds. You got to subscribe to the first of the month. Go on there, download whatever you want to fucking download or sit in on some of these shows. We got Tom Barber coming on from Chelsea Grin next Tuesday, so sit in on it live with us. But you got to be all access or executive producer tier, patreon.com/JOSTA. Thank you to one of our best sponsors, Indie Merch Store, indiemerchstore.com. Use the promo code JOSTA10. Get your tickets to Milwaukee Metal Fest, therave.com/Milwaukee Metal Fest, and be on the lookout for a special headliner announcement, another headliner coming on board.
You're going to have to tell me when we get it, when we're done here.
I will. I'll give you a little hint. They might be near from where you currently live.
I think I figured it out.
You might. Also, thank you to Century Media, and they're sponsoring Milwaukee Metal Fest, sponsoring this podcast. We really appreciate them. They're killing it. That's why I think, you know, Lorna Shore blowing up. That's why people want that episode to be back on the free feed. Who knows? Maybe we'll put it back up on YouTube or something for the time being. Centurymedia.store. You can order all the Lorna Shore merch and vinyl, and also the Sanguasuga Bog. They're going to have the Unearthed pre-orders up. Centurymedia.store. Big thanks to Century Media Records. Link is in the show notes. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll be back on Monday with Mark from Periphery. Drink your coffee, do your push-ups, listen to death metal. Bye-bye.
Produced by Brian McKay. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, AJ Lewis, Garrett Keeping, Dan Smith, Nick Torito, JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Todd McKee, John Blewett, Richard Miller, Kyle Marg, Nate Leffingwell, Morgan Costner, Mark Tagg, Zapagor Waikato, Niall Scollard, Kathy D'Ambrosio, Justin Steven, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Andy Wilson, Jeffrey Kuhn, Kimo Humalamaki, Jonathan Metis, Brandon Cooper, Matthew Jankowskis, Jamie Kutcher, Ryan Underkoffler, Matt West, Ryan Maurice, Chad Green, Dallas Hendricks, Jacob Ahrensberg, Kenneth Moore, Kona Butterflies, Stephen Helm, Richard McIntosh, Jeff Stevenson, Ryan Williams, Larry Tooley, Dallas Bolin, Brian St, Nathan Rex Madrid, Cameron Hendricks, Scandalous Official, Joe Motson, Let's Talk Resident Evil, Andrew Chase, Guy on the Couch, Chris Winchester, Antonio Reyes, Joe Otson, Dustin Stone, Lee Walker, Ryan Levson, John Henkes, Robert Bushaw, Troy Seal, Mark Horror Armenta, Jay Liberston, Nick Fowler, Mike Horgan, Emma Horgan, Arnorock, Patrick King, Oscar Brummett, Stacy Steineke, Fernando Somoza, Patrick O'Brien, Dominique Zimmer, Ryan Sanders, Lara Snyder, Daniel Burt, Milwaukee Metal Sausage, Adam Boss.